I am
Blog Talk Radio.
I'm waiting on Peter to stop laughing.
I'm not laughing, actually. But I can't drink, though, because I do need my coffee, right?
No, please don't drink. Okay, we're going live. 5, 4, 3, 2. My camera. Hi, this is Ann McNeil, the Master Builder, helping you to build a stronger and better life and business. And we are the master class from the Think and Grow Rich International Mastermind Association, sharing with you another show focusing on the book, Think and Grow Rich. I'm excited to be here today with my co-host, and we are also excited to have our special guest, Ms. Tylene Henry, which you'll hear about her just a little. But what I'd like to do is ask each of you to think about the principle we're talking about today, organized planning. As we were preparing for the show, we were talking and just kind of sharing with each other, and all of a sudden, somebody said, you know, God had a plan. And somebody else said, well, if God had a plan, what about the rest of us? And so that's the question we'd like to ask each of you. If God had to have a plan, and he took 7 days and rested on that last day, how do you organize your plan to achieve your definite chief purpose in life and in your business, but also in every area of your life? You see, we represent the International Mastermind Association, and this organization helps you to understand how do you have plans in every area of your life. Those areas are your spiritual, your family, your financial, your health, your education, your business and or your career, but your personal and professional development, your civic, your recreation, and the creative area of your life, creative. Now, with those thoughts and principles in mind, we set goals and we have plans for 6 months, 5 years, 6 months, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, for myself, 20, and now I'm in my 40th year. That's a plan, a life plan, a strategic life plan. So as we talk with our guests and our other co-hosts, we're going to be sharing with you the principles of this book and how do we use these goals and these plans to achieve our desires. But before we do that, I am honored to share with you my co-host. So first up is none other than the leadership coach, Mr. Galen Bingham. Good morning, Galen. How are you this morning?
Good morning. Good morning. I am so excited to be here. So I'm Galen Bingham, the leadership strategist. I am CEO and founder of Kill Global Coaching and Consulting. And this is a really, I think I say this every week, this is a really, really important chapter. But this is a chapter that we could talk about for weeks and weeks and weeks. Because to your point, Ms. Ann, if you don't have a plan, then what in the world are you doing? And I'm going to paraphrase some advice I got from an early mentor of mine. You don't have to plan for every part of your life, only the parts of your life that you want to get right. That's all you need to focus on. If you don't care about whether or not it goes right, then you don't need a plan. But if you're focused on trying to get something right, you might want to think about it a couple of times before you launch into it. So let's get it. Let's go.
All right. And next up is none other than Ms. Sula Tu. We make old things new. How about that? Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning. And yes, we do. As CEO of Sula Tu, we make old new in everything we do, in that we capture, preserve, and present legacy information in any form possible, and we transform your wisdom, your life lessons, and all that hard work into books, videos, legacy walls, and live performances. Just give me a call and we'll get it started. And what I love about what we do here every Saturday morning is this is exactly what we do. We capture those moments using the past, the history, the foundation, and then building on it our experiences and talking with and guiding the future. That's what we do here, and I love it. Can't wait for today.
All right. Thank you. And, of course, you must have a doctor in the house. Let's call on the doctor. Dr. Peter James, good morning, sir. How are you this morning?
Good morning to you, and good morning to our host as well as our special guest today. My name is Dr. Peter James, and I'm excited to be here with you all this morning. I am the high performance coach, encouraging you to shift your mindset. And I'm excited about this book, Think and Grow Rich, for a number of different reasons. For those of you who are watching, for those of you who are listening, don't be deceived by the title. Think and Grow Rich is not only about your wealth, not only about you getting money. It has so much more to do about how you live your life. And this chapter is no different in organized planning, which allows you to dive into and visualize the plans, the strategies, and the goals in your life. And yes, plans, strategies, and goals do shift, and that's okay. But it's very important, as Galen had mentioned, for you to be able to plan effectively in order for you to accomplish any dream or vision.
All right. Thank you. And so what we like to do is set this so you understand that each week we're focusing on a principle. Each month we shift and we go to the next principle. This particular principle has been so powerful and so intensive for leadership, especially leadership of your life and also the leadership of your business. And so with that, we're going to have Ursula to share with you all 13 principles and help you understand the larger vision of this success philosophy. Ursula?
Thank you. And in this particular book, we start with introduction, and that is the mind power. Thoughts are things, and the powerful things when they are mixed with the decisiveness of purpose, persistence, and a burning desire for their translation into riches or other material objects. The first step to riches is desire. Napoleon Hill said, a burning desire to be and to do is the starting point from which the dreamer must take off. Desire is the starting point of all achievement and the first step to riches. The second step is faith. Faith is the visualization and belief in the attainment of desire. It is a state of mind which may be induced by auto-suggestion. And what is auto-suggestion? It is the third step to riches. The medium for influencing the subconscious mind. It is self-administered stimuli which reaches one's mind through the five senses. One's repeated actions that create faith. The fourth step is specialized knowledge. Personal experiences, observation. It is the organization and the use of knowledge in the pursuit of one's desire. The fifth step is imagination, the workshop of the mind. The only limitation is that which one sets up in one's own mind, where impulse, the desire, is given shape, form, and action. It has been said that anything that can be created with which the human being can imagine, anything can be created that we can imagine. The sixth step is organized planning. That's the crystallization of desire into action. Number seven is decision, the mastery of procrastination. Put yourself out of your misery. Decide. All else depends on it. Chapter eight, persistence, the sustained effort necessary to induce faith. Riches do not respond to wishes. They respond only to the definite plans backed by definite desires through constant persistence. The ninth step is power of the mastermind, the driving force. Persistence creates faith. Faith produces power. And power is essential for success in the accumulation of money. Great power can be accumulated through no other principle than that of the mastermind. And number 10, the one that we all smile about, the mystery of sex transmutation. And transmute means the changing or transferring of one element or form of energy into another. The same way we pursue that which we want as an individual, we can do that in business. So step number 11 is the subconscious mind. Napoleon Hill tells us it is the connecting leap between our human mind and the infinite intelligence, the source of all thought, the source of all creativity. Conscious mind, it is the source of all creativity. And number 12, which is the brain, the broadcasting and receiving station of thought. And number 13 is the sixth sense, the door to the temple of wisdom, the step through which infinite intelligence may and will communicate voluntarily without any effort from or demand by the individual. Thank you.
Wow. That's a mouthful. Thank you. I think you all get the point. There are 13 principles that this philosophy is based upon. And just to remind all of us that when Andrew Carnegie came to the United States as a poor, 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 poor boy with his family, and he grew a business in the steel industry to become what we now know as a billionaire, he realized that there was a philosophy of success and interviewed Napoleon Hill, and he asked him this question. And I want to ask all of you to ask yourself this question. When Carnegie asked Napoleon Hill, would you be willing to take 20 years of your life and research the most successful people living and find out and create a philosophy of success that also included the failures? But he also said to him, I will not give you a dime. What would you do? You see, you have to have a plan in order to say yes. If you don't have a plan, then the answer to the question is, no, I'm not going to do that. Now, why is that important as we embark upon organized planning? Because, you see, your organized plan starts actually with your desire, exactly what Ursula just shared. And having a definite chief purpose, Carnegie had a definite chief purpose, Hill had a definite chief purpose. We're talking about that right now today as a part of this philosophy and these organized plans. But in order for you to do the same, we want to encourage you, communicate with us as a part of this program today. If you agree with something you're about to hear, can you give us your comments in the chat? If you're listening live on Facebook, let us hear from you if you have questions or comments. And if you're participating with us live on Zoom, let us hear from you in the chat if you have any questions or comments. And the same for you if you're listening on the podcast, all right? So what I'd like to do now is go ahead and we're going to tell you just a little bit about our special guest. But I oftentimes, you know, I can't say there's not somebody that I know, but this was at one point somebody that I did not know. And this special person we're going to interview today is none other than Tylene Henry. And Tylene is, and I'll just share with you her bio, and then we'll have her share more about herself. All right? So Tylene is an entrepreneur. She's a powerful change agent and a staunch advocate for socioeconomic parity. But to me, Tylene is a financial planner extraordinaire. She's someone that cares about your financial future when she helps you to understand through education how to empower yourself with your financial plan. And so I could read all these things about all these other things. But Tylene, welcome to the show. and share with us a little bit about yourself, your business, and really, I'm going to go to Galen with the question. I'm not going to ask that question, but we'll come back to Galen about that question we discussed earlier. But Tylene, welcome to the show, first of all. We're so glad to have you here this morning.
Thank you so much for having me, and I'm so excited to be here because I tune in on Saturday mornings, and it's a wonderful way to get the weekend started. You know, some people think of the weekend as, you know, I just want to rest, but I'm just excited to, you know, get enthused and empowered with great ideas to fuel, you know, my desire to achieve my definite purpose in life. So, you know, my personal mission is to alleviate socioeconomic disparity, and I'm very clear that it's not a lack of access to money. It's not just a money thing. It's a lack of equitable access to ideas, resources, and relationships. And so when we talk about organized planning today, we can see how, you know, not having access to someone like an Ann McNeil, Dr. Peter James, a Galen Bingham, Miss Ursula Odom, you know, not having people like that in your atmosphere or sphere can impact, you know, your thought on what you can possibly achieve. You know, your ability to organize maybe your desire, because maybe someone has a desire for something, but they're not sure how to, you know, go about. Where's the first step? And so, you know, I feel very strongly that my purpose here on Earth is to connect people, especially across different socioeconomic strata, different industries, because that's how you're able to really grow and thrive. And so that's what I'm passionate about. That's what I love to do. And, of course, finance is a piece of that. You know, this world, you know, we live in one of the greatest countries in the world. Of course, there's always opportunity for improvement, right? We live in one of the greatest countries in the world. We have freedom of religion. We have our freedom of speech. But without money, it's really tough, right? It's tough to be able to operate in the freedoms that you have here. And so, you know, I'm just really excited to be here to talk about how organized planning has truly been a benefit to my life. Through masterminding and through getting exposed to this wonderful book and all these principles that are a process. And it wasn't like I read the book and I was like, oh, that's everything I need, right? It really was a process. You know, I had to read the book several times, and every time I come to organized planning, I literally have some aha moment, some huge advancement in my understanding, my self-confidence, you know, and my faith in persisting towards the things that I want to do. So I'm just really excited to be here with you guys. Thank you. It's an honor and a privilege.
All right, we're excited to have you here. What I'd like to do is I'd like to go back to your childhood. And if you can just share what maybe one memory from your childhood, and you were sharing with us on yesterday, just remember this about your dad, and having everything in an organized place. Can you share that story with our listeners, please?
Absolutely. So I grew up in a pretty affluent area. But my dad bought like a HUD home, and we lived in the family room while he fixed it up. But I had access to really great schools. My dad is a plumber by trade, and in the summertime, quite often we would go with him to work, and my job was to hand him tools. And so he was very specific that as I would get him tools, that I should put them back where I got them from. Because otherwise, then you wouldn't know where they were. Well, I felt like I knew better. So I'm like, I can remember where I put the monkey wrench or the screwdriver, right? And so I remember this time, you know, our goal was always to get it to and through whatever it is we're doing so we could get it to the swimming pool. So we could get done for the swimming pool flows, then that was wonderful. So I remember the time that we were waiting on him to come back. And, you know, we knew kind of how long it took him to do certain things. He was going to like repair or do something with the faucet. And so he was telling me, you know, told us, yeah, I'm back late. We didn't get to go to the pool. You know why? Because you didn't put my tools back where they were supposed to be, right? And it seemed very, like, kind of an elementary thing. But when we talk about that QQS formula, and I know I'm probably just jumping ahead, the quality of service, the quantity of service, and the spirit in which you deliver it, I recognized that very early in my childhood. My father loved what he did, and he was very meticulous and very orderly. So he had his tools in a specific place. He asked lots of questions when we even went to see about what what the issue was, and we were prepared when we got there to do. There wasn't a whole lot of back and forth trips to the truck, to the store. He was very organized, and he was self-taught. And that's something we talk about in the chapter, that, you know, it's not always a formalized education. Sometimes you learn by experience and by doing, and that can truly put you, you know, far above, because it's not what we know, it's applying what we know, right? And so that's what I learned from a very young age, this concept of being efficient and being having things in order. But I also learned something about leadership, because it helped me, as I'm explaining to people the importance of why this is the process that I need to do, the why and the big picture, so that folks can understand it may be easier for you to do it this way, but we're working in a team and we need a collaborative effort. You know, this is the way that we can all, you know, leverage the systems, the tools, and the resources that we need in an efficient way, so that we can, you know, deliver a quality project. And obviously, when people have what they need, they know where they can go to get it, that, you know, that makes for an awesome experience and work environment. And so I've learned that from a very, very young age, and it was really maybe last week or so I was reading through, and I knew I was going to talk about organized planning. I was reading it again, and that came into my mind. You know, that thought came into my mind, that memory, just understanding the consequences of not doing what was asked of me, and then really learning the importance of it. That's how my dad could be so fast. You know, people would, I remember us leaving places, and people would just be so happy. They're like, you know, we've never had somebody be able to come so fast, and we always left things cleaner or neater than when we found them. Always going above and beyond what was being paid or what is expected. And so that's what I learned. And a lot of folks, you know, the people that I grew up around, their parents are doctors, lawyers, you know, and it's kind of like, you know, my dad's a plumber, but the lessons that I learned because of his ability to apply his knowledge, which is really, you know, power. That's where the power lies. So I know that was a kind of deep story, but it is, you know, that's my truth. And
All right, well, we're going to have our
co-host
to start sharing their questions. So we'll start with Gabe.
Gabe,
if you can please share.
Yeah, a fantastic conversation, and, you know, I'm always thinking about how it applies to my own experiences, and my parents shared all kinds of nuggets with me that would have helped me tremendously if I had appreciated them at the moment that they were sharing.
Right.
You got a lot of that from your dad as well. Tell me, what's been the impact of you being introduced to this book? How did you get introduced to this book? And then what's been the impact of being able to know that this wasn't just your dad kind of ranting about what he thought was important? It was actually part of a formal document in the system for success that your dad just understood and lived. What's been the impact of that?
You know, I got it told really through a Friday morning accountability call that's actually like free. That anyone can join. If you go on Eventbrite, you look up the IMA Thinking You Grow Rich Friday accountability call. And so I didn't even have the book at the time. I downloaded the Audible version and started listening to that. And you know, that was how I began to get engaged. And I love the way it progresses. You know, early on, you're reviewing faith and desire. Those are things that most people can resonate with, regardless of where you are in your journey. And so those are the things that really began to resonate to me. But I will be told, and let me tell you, I got to tell you, how did I get to that Friday accountability call, Ms. Ann McNeil? So, you know, I met her. I had a strong desire to fulfill my purpose in life, which was to alleviate socioeconomic disparity. And I was literally doing a Google search of businesses in South Florida as I was traveling here to visit clients. And Infinite Intelligence brought me to Ann. And so I've always been kind of clear on the fact that, you know, if you really want something bad enough, that you can make it happen and the resources you need will come. But I couldn't have articulated that. I had experienced it, but I wasn't really a man of the principle. And so I got on the call, and I would hear people sharing their aha moments. And, you know, I would be listening, but the game changer is when I actually began to read the book. and I had it in my hand. And I could highlight certain sections, and I could come back and see things that I hadn't seen before, hear things that I hadn't heard before. That was really the game changer for me, and how, you know, once I was introduced to Google, being able to understand the importance of actually applying the information as opposed to just kind of reading it and being in the atmosphere. But when you apply it, there's so much power in that.
Absolutely. I can relate to that as well. I think there are a couple of books that I've got, the paperback version, I've got the audible version, I've got the digital version, and there's just something about immersing yourself in the content, and it sounds like you're doing that, and you're seeing results associated with it. Is there one particular element of the organized planning chapter that can continue to capture your imagination every time you get to it, regardless of the medium?
Absolutely. It's just a concept of how, if you're organized, the idea of infinite intelligence, which is out there, right, will bring you whatever it is that you need, right? And, you know, in order to have that confidence, right, a part of the process is in increasing our self-confidence so that we can be really clear on what we want to achieve. You know, just knowing, and it really is dynamic because it's not just the infinite intelligence, it's also the concept of the mastermind, right? And so it started with me just coming on the line on Friday morning and getting the aha moments, and then as I would read, other things would pop out to me, right? And then maybe 2 years later, I joined the mastermind group. And I wasn't really sure. I was like, what is this about? Because I didn't know the members of my mastermind group, like, really intimately before, but we met a couple of times, and we really seemed to have this similar spirit, this collaborative effort, just the, you know, it was just always a good conversation, and there was trust established. And that is how, you know, I felt like it took it to the next level as far as being able to execute my plan, right? Being able to, have people that you can trust to help you check your plan, right? And so when I say infinite intelligence is bringing you what you need, you still have to be able to apply it, and you have to be organized. And so having a group of people around you that not only is going to be sharing some ideas with you that are going to help you get to that next level, but they can also let you know, like, hey, you might want to review that again. How A goes to C, but what about B? And so it was very helpful because it shortens that learning curve. Because you have some insight from folks who know you, they understand what your definite purpose is. They're very clear on some idiosyncrasies that you may have, the things that are unique about you. And so they're best positioned to be able to help you, and you have that trust to receive it, and move forward with it. So let's say that infinite intelligence that you tap into through the mastermind, that's the most powerful component of the chapter to me.
Ursula, what are your thoughts?
I want her to talk more about the fact that part of her organization includes being in multiple mastermind groups and that her meetings are mastermind. So two full questions. One, how are those groups organized to be a mastermind? Most people don't really understand what a mastermind really is. And then how do they really impact your life?
So the first formal group was organized through the Menil Factor. And so, you know, we had a toolkit that basically helped us to understand how we could organize, how we could make sure that we were all on the same page about what the expectations were of each of us and holding one another accountable, giving one another permission to ask questions that may be tough, to give feedback. And, that was my first official forming of a mastermind group, which is yielded me, I couldn't pay for the advice, the support, the encouragement, the reassurance at some time that I may have needed that I received from that group. But that taught me how to really better leverage other groups that I'm a part of and how I could be more bring more value to those groups by coming in a position where I'm prepared to listen, but not just for what is to benefit me or what I'm trying to do, but how can I add value to based off of something that infinite intelligence has brought me in this moment to help you to get to where you're going more efficiently. And so it started off with a formalized mastermind group, which we had a template to follow. We had a plan to follow, right? So that we could do it efficiently. And then it began to spread like wildfire. Then next thing I know, my meetings with my clients are now mastermind meetings. Because I've drawn to themselves the spirit or of cooperation. Then just having a similar value and idea of how we want, what we want to put it into this world and what we want to have come out of it, right? And so being able to connect with people on that level, make for a more fruitful meeting, even though you know what your goal and outcome of this meeting is, you're able to not only just use the information for that specific outcome, but there's other things that get resolved, whether it's personal, challenges that maybe they're trying to get over and they get an aha moment in the meeting, like, wow, maybe this is what my husband was talking about when he said I was, XYZ. You're applying what you're learning in your work environment to other aspects of your life, and that's how you, can really, to me, get to that. I think about Super Mario Brothers when he gets the star. And he's just off. I know some of our listeners may not be up on Nintendo. But that's what I feel when I connect with people that we're on that same accord. And it's throughout my meetings, my civic groups. We all want to grow our businesses. Many of my civic groups that I participate in, they're around small business ownership, community development, youth mentorship. And so being able to pull in resources and ideas and relationships to connect people, and it's not that folks don't want to help other people, but if you don't have a definite plan and you're not really clear about what you're trying to do, you're kind of always operating in this kind of shotgun, just whatever comes, I got to get it done. But when we're organized, we can access all of that information and apply it accordingly, just like that. And so that's the benefit of the mastermind, just having that organization so that you can be efficient in all of your communications. You're moving forward all aspects of your life. Because some people think, I can only work on my fitness this week. I can only work on my finances today. But really, when you get organized, you begin to pull that information and apply it to improve various aspects and areas of your life.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that. What are you thinking, Peter?
About Super Mario Brothers.
I love it. You have to describe it.
Great, actually, I love it. I haven't played that in a while. You make me want to go back and play it for now, as a matter of fact. Helen, thank you so much for sharing a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your journey overall. This chapter of organized planning has so many pearls and gems that sometimes I don't even know where to start, but what you have described about your upbringing, even how you evolved in your life and in your career is phenomenal. This chapter also talks about 30 major causes of failure, right? And one of them that has jumped out to me was number 23, which is intolerance. And I'm going to read it a little bit, but then I want to ask you how maybe that has played out in your life, because I hear it, I sense it. And I just want to see if this has really, maybe what areas of your life this intolerance or not having intolerance plays out. Intolerance, the person with a closed mind on any subject seldom gets ahead. Intolerance means that one has stopped acquiring knowledge. The most damaging forms of intolerance are those connected with religious, racial, and political differences of opinion. So what are your thoughts on that, and maybe how have you seen that play out in your own life and your own career?
Absolutely. I think that growing up in an environment where I would be considered a minority, right, I experienced this intolerance in some aspects, and I saw that it became an opportunity for me, even though it was an obstacle at the time. And so, you know, the challenge is that quite often we are just familiar with what we're familiar with, and what we don't know, we kind of have this, we kind of want to stay away from it, right? But my experience is that I haven't had a choice. I've kind of just been thrown into situations, but I've been able to identify how I could benefit from some of those situations that at the time may not have seemed that great. And so I feel that it built this muscle in me to not focus on what I don't like or what's not going right, but what can I get out of this? You know, refusing to be a victim, right? Refusing to allow my circumstances to dictate how I feel about myself, you know, and the actions that I take. And life impacts people differently, so, you know, that's just been my experience. But definitely, I can tell you that, you know, when I started my career in financial services, it was, you know, it was maybe within that first year or year and a half that I connected with Ms. Anne McNeil and the National Association of Black Women in Construction. And, you know, people were asking me professionally, well, what does that have to do with finance? Why are you, you know, what are you doing? Because I went to an annual meeting, and this meeting I was going to before I was going to a financial, like, conference, right? When I go to this financial conference, it's kind of like how it was when I was growing up. Like, I'm the one of there's not many, you know, Black financial advisors. There's not very many women that are financial advisors. And so before I go to Chicago, I'm flying down to Orlando for this conference. And I am surrounded by professional women that are ambitious, that are confident, that look like me, that are unapologetically themselves, that are willing to support and uplift and encourage me. I don't care if nobody's a CFP in that group. I don't care if nobody has a financial license, but there are people in the group that, you know, are financial professionals. That environment and spirit of harmony was what I needed to gain the self-confidence necessary to continue to thrive and compete in a space that was not designed or created for me or people who look like me, right? And so, you know, I could have been intolerant, like, okay, this, you know, construction has nothing to do with finance. But my tolerance tells me that anytime you're going to have a major development, there's billions of dollars that are going to be switching hands and moving around, right? So you have to be willing to see the opportunity. You know, if I'm very rigid in my faith in God and my belief in that faith, but I'm flexible in the execution. And I learned that from a man that I admire very much so in the financial advising space. This concept of there's things that you may be rigid in, but there's things that you will be flexible in. And that flexibility is going to give you that advantage you need to be able to better serve your community, your clients, and your family. So, you know, that's my experience with intolerance and people that aren't willing to see another perspective. Doesn't mean you don't stay focused on what your goal is, but you don't want to miss out on an opportunity because they don't come in a package that you think that they should, right?
I want to ask a question. I'm hearing something from you. I'm hearing affirmations and all of everything you say. The words are just fitting so neatly together, and I see how they're driving your life. So how do you turn what are some of your favorite affirmations that guide you? I'm picking up some, but I want to know what you're thinking as I ask you this question.
Absolutely. You know, my biggest I would say affirmation is definitely that I am, you know, my father's child, right? I am my father's child in more than one way, right? I'm a child of God, and he doesn't have to step on anything, right? So everything that he created is an excellence, right? So just knowing that gives you that foundation, right? But I am my father's child as in my earthly father that brought me here. And when I say that, I can only think about the admiration that I have for him, you know, because I feel like this has given me the competitive advantage in life, you know, to see a man to accomplish what my father has accomplished without more than a 10th grade education. So he didn't graduate from 10th grade, right? And for him to have taught me lessons about it's not what you make, but it's what you keep. If you take care of the pennies, the dollars will take care of themselves. This isn't some elaborate, sophisticated financial formula, right? But it is very relevant and practical and doable, right? And so, those are things, being my father's child, knowing that I'm a child of God, those are things that nobody can, question or tell me, understanding that I don't want to engage in anything that is not going to benefit all who are touched or impacted by it, right? There's nothing, there's no amount of money in the world, there's no amount of fame in the world to me that it is worth doing anything that is not going to positively impact everyone who is involved. And that's what gives me an advantage. I know you didn't ask me this, but that's why my clients choose to work with me. I don't have I'm not a PSP, I'm not, the queen of the universe when it comes to finance, but what I am is I'm knowledgeable, I'm reliable, and I'm extremely resourceful. So if there's anything that I don't know, I know how to get the answer, and I know how to get it from a reliable source. Right? And so people trust me to be able to help them navigate those things. And it's because of these affirmations and just the way that I live my life. And I've never gone without. I've always had everything that I need. A lot of folks over these past few months have felt like, oh, it's just been terrible. And, but it's how you want to look at it. I feel for people who have lost loved ones. I feel for people who have lost their lives to racial injustice. But I am truly confident that this is a time of phenomenal change that is coming. It's a transformative time. People have had time to spend time with their creator. They've had time to do self-inventory, which I learned from Ms. Ann through Napoleon Hill, Grow Rich, self-inventory, and prepare themselves to be organized to access all of the opportunities and the resources that the universe is providing them.
Thank you. All right, I just want to remind all of our listeners and those who are watching that we are talking with Colleen Henry. She's an entrepreneur, powerful change agent, and a staunch advocate for socioeconomic parity. Colleen believes that her faith, character, and mindset of abundance have been the foundation of her continued success. And so, Colleen, my question as we prepare to wrap up, is what made you decide to become an entrepreneur? Can you share that, please?
I don't want to say something. I feel like I always was an entrepreneur. When I was in sixth or seventh grade, I would go to Sam's Club and buy Low Pops, Airheads, and candy bars that I learned those and keep well in my soccer bag. And I would sell those, and make a profit. And, go buy more candy. And I really didn't even have anything that I necessarily wanted to buy, but I think that it was just watching my parents. My parents always had some type of business, whether it was real estate, whether it was resale of school equipment. And from a very young age, my dad would put me on the phone and he would take a call and ask about this. People would want me to haul things away so it was free material. And because he didn't sound like someone maybe they wanted to have come into their house, he would put me on the phone. And so from a young age, I was conducting business, probably 10 or 11 years old, calling, getting addresses, getting information, doing research. He would always tell me, go look it up. Whatever I would ask him, regardless of whether or not he knew or not, he would say, go look it up, and I have to report back to him what I learned. And so I think that being empowered from a young age is what helped me to make that leap into entrepreneurship, but like the specific kind of time frame and occurrence, and just my understanding that the value that I have to bring to the world, God has provided me with, and I have to bring that in the package that he gave it to me in. And that, there may be certain confines or expectations of what a financial advisor looks like, what a business consultant looks like, but there are people out there who are looking for me because I am for them and they are for me. And once I got that understanding and that confidence, the visibility, authenticity, who I am, and that kind of that line with the mastermind, right? Because when you're in a mastermind group, you know that they're prepared and positioned to give you the feedback you need. But everybody is not prepared or qualified to give you, you know, the information that you need to be successful, because they're acting on what they know, right? And they don't know enough always to give you what you need. And really quickly, when we talk about the ability to model, so when we talk about, as I became a business owner, there were all these models around me that I was emulating, and I was doing like three times, four times, five times what they were doing, but that model was for them. It was not for me. My model was surrounding myself by other successful business owners, business women, who had a similar mission and vision to that of mine. And that is how I've been able to be successful. So that was a catalyst for me, just really understanding that I had something very special and unique, and that people needed in the package that I was bringing, because I was the only person who could give that to them, who could be that catalyst for them to do something different about their finances, to take action, to get organized, to educate themselves on information that's relevant to them, and to take that action, to apply what they learned. Right? And who am I to try to put it in another package that wasn't what God intended for it to be? And so that was how I made my transition into entrepreneurship officially. And I've never looked back ever since.
I think Galen is leaning forward. I see his mouth parking, like trying to say something.
Yeah, it's like I've heard you, obviously, the chapter name is organized planning, but I've heard you say get organized. I lost track at like 15, and at 15 I just stopped counting. And so, one of the things that I think you and I met briefly at was this past year's annual meeting, which was my first time attending. And it was just an amazing event where not only did we have to come in with an organized plan for how we are going to live our life, and it's one thing to say we're going to put our plan in writing, we're going to commit to doing these things. It's another thing to have to come in and be accountable to that plan that you put in writing, and be accountable to people who have be accountable to people who know you because they've seen you before, they've worked with you, and they kind of know your stories that you typically tell. It's another thing to be accountable to people that meet you for the first time and say, wait a second, it doesn't add up, right? I don't know your background. This just doesn't make sense. And that was kind of my experience, coming in with all of the ego that people usually arrive and you meet people for the first time, but to actually be held accountable to this plan that you put in writing against all these elements of your life, that was something that really, really captured me. And although we've got the next annual meeting is going to be the first week in January, so it's month out in Boca Raton, Florida, I've already signed up. I've already committed. This is something that I know that I have to do, that is part of how I think about my life anymore, just because I've gotten so much impact out of not only attending that meeting, but now as I think about my plan for 2020, I know I've got to be accountable. This isn't just something I've got to do for me. I'm going to have friends and strangers kind of checking me on things that I committed to do. That's been my experience. I know you and I met very briefly at this last one. I'd love to hear your experience and what does this mean to you, and are you planning to go to the next one?
Look, this has been the best year of my life so far, right? So you take into consideration the global pandemic, the increased frequency of the socioeconomic and lack of justice around. But I can still tell you it's been the best year of my life. It has been the best year of my life because I got organized, right? So as I was going to this annual meeting, which I really didn't know what to expect, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go. And I had to do some things to prepare, right? I prepared this report. This report, and when I tell you, like, my mastermind group, we said we want to have it done by a particular time. Once I started working on that thing, I looked up, hours had gone by, and I was and looking at what I had accomplished, not only what my goals were, but what I had accomplished the year before. When I started, I was like, oh, I don't know if I wasn't super excited about it. But when I started off by putting the things that I had accomplished, I was like, whoa, You know what I'm saying? So it gives you this energy to really get excited about my plan for my life. And this concept that it's not just me, I have a mastermind, and I'm going to get access to all these other people that have this similar similar energy that we want to help one another to succeed. And so it was wonderful to meet people that have like minds, you know, and wanting to support the goals and dreams of others, sharing challenges. Nobody wants to only hear about, oh, you know, I'm the queen of the universe and everything is wonderful. We want to know, how do you make it through that tough time? Hearing that I'm stuck, I can't move forward. You know what I'm saying? I got this great plan, it's like 50 pages, but I can't move forward because that's what's going to help me when I get stuck and I can't move forward. That's going to shorten that valley for me because I've got an experience that I can lean to gather the strength that I need and some of the tools I might need to move forward. So I'm going to the meeting. I'm bringing my family to the meeting. You know, some of them might be kicking and screaming, right? Like, where are we going? You know, you get on these calls on Friday, but I'm like, you enjoy the fruit of my labor, the fruit of doing the work. Nobody wants to do the work. It's not easy to do. You know what I'm saying? But everybody wants the fruit. And building your life is really a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's something that you have to have benchmark, and you have to be able to track progress. And the more you do it, the more efficient and more successful, and the quicker your results will come. So, yes, I'm excited about it. I'll be there. I'll be there. I'll have my family there. And, you know, I hope that people that are listening will consider coming, you know, regardless of whether or not you know what to expect. It was a phenomenal experience.
So, Tylene, this may put us over, and I'm going to get in trouble for this, but I've got to ask. What would you say, this is going to tie back into something that Peter brought up at the very top of the show. What would you say to people, because I get a lot of people saying to me, what would you say to people that say, you know, Galen, I see you talking about thinking grow rich, but, money's not an issue for me. Why would I be so focused on something that's designed just to bring riches? What would you say to those people that think of this as just a book or a focus on creating wealth?
I mean, if riches is the only thing that's valuable for you, for folks, I kind of feel bad for them. You know, the most valuable things that I have are my relationship with my family and the people that I care about. And this book is not just about the money aspect. It's about, you know, working on your personal relationship, listening, you know, your civic engagement, you know, how you run your business and grow and develop your business. So, you know, it just depends on how you look at riches. You know, the money comes, right? But it's not just about the money. I could have billions of dollars, but, you know, if I got to go get my, you know, kid out of a drug house or something because I haven't worked on that relationship and developed that relationship and provided that guidance, what is it for? So really, you know, the unique value and the wealth that comes out of this process is really being able to be aware of all the values in your life. And quite often for those who may be starting off and they don't have money, that's what gives you the confidence to realize, like, I might not have the money right now, but I'm incredibly efficient, I'm resourceful, I got a great family, right? It helps you to really understand the value of the different things in your life that aren't necessarily money. You know, and if you don't acknowledge that value, then, you know, you don't get to leverage or harness that power that comes along with it.
So throughout the year, what are some of your pet projects that are not money-related?
So one of them is June 19th, Independence Day. There's a website called www.June9teen.com, and there is a Facebook website, and I'll post the link in the chat. And on the Facebook page, June 19, are all the videos. And so I'm so passionate about not just talking about the problems that we have in America and areas of opportunity, but how do we get together and create strategy and organize plans to get the results that we want? Because it doesn't happen overnight. I can go pick it, and I was out there with my sign, you know, because that's part of my right? But even more importantly is empowering people, helping them to understand how our mental health is a foundation. Our physical health is a foundation. Having conversations about restorative justice, you know, understanding how do we communicate with our families, how do we build intergenerational wealth, through our businesses, making sure that we properly organize and have some continuity plans? How do we engage with legislation that is going to ensure that businesses that are disadvantaged have opportunities to get contracts? Because we can do all these touchy deals and develop relationships all we want to, but money is the root of the issue, right? And so, that's a project that wasn't something that was a revenue-ish thing for me. It was really more about providing people with an outlet for all this energy that people have, frustration, some of it encouragement, get that energy going into executing some organized plans. And how do you execute plans? You've got to educate yourself. So I encourage you. In celebration of everyone's Independence Day, which was June 19, 1865, when the last remaining enslaved Africans were freed in Texas, even though that was a date, we have to free our minds. We are all sometimes, subject to our own bondage within our minds. And so that project is something that I'm very proud of, and I thank you for helping us learn how to preserve our family history, because that's a part of our self-confidence and our self-image. You kicked off the week with that, and I'm very appreciative of that. And it's got over 2,000 views, so if you missed it, then you better go catch it. It's a family affair.
All right. Thank you so very much for that question. We're going to go ahead and wrap up. We're going to start with Peter in terms of any aha moments from what was shared. Then we'll go to Galen, and then we'll go to Ursula.
Thank you so much. Tylene, I appreciate you coming on the show today. I heard a lot of drive, desire, ambition, but then I heard the planning that goes into it all, where you don't just jump into your activities, you don't just jump into your desires, but you are giving it some type of thought and reflection, and this organized planning chapter seems to encapsulate a lot of what you're doing. Thank you so much for sharing all of that with us there, Tylene. I appreciate it, and I look forward to seeing you also at the annual accountability meeting and the turn of the year. Good stuff.
I appreciate
you. Kayla, what do you think, man?
The entire time that I've been listening to Tylene, I've had this image. It's almost like a metaphor of being in a body of water, and you've got a choice of, and that body of water being your life, and you've got a choice of either being on a raft or being on a motorboat. And you can be on a raft and just let the current take you wherever it might happen to go, and chances are you might happen to land in a good place. Or you can choose to be in a motorboat and set your sights on where exactly you'd like to go. And yet things may come up, but your chances of getting there and getting there quickly with the motorboat of this success formula, of this annual plan, of this being around people of like mind, like spirit, that just increases the probability that you actually achieve the goal that you set out for yourself. So that's what was coming to mind. And thank you so much, Tylene, for coming in and sharing that with us. Ursula?
Well, since you started talking about visualization, I tell you what I see. Tylene would make a great black superwoman. I can see the red, white, and blue with a cape coming in. All motivation and aspirations. And here's what you need to say to get your mind right. Bring your mind. I love how you organize your thought, how you organize your dream, and you speak to yourself every time you open your mouth. But we gain from it as you do so. It's been wonderful.
Wow. Ursula. Wow. Superwoman. Well, Superwoman and all of the co-hosts, I'd like to share something before I wrap up. And I just want to share for those of you that may be listening on the audio and you did not get to see the link that was shared on our annual meeting. It's in Boca Raton, and it is on the 9th of January 2020. We actually arrive on the 9th before. So if you're planning on coming, we do have activities that are scheduled on that Friday. But on page 133 in the book, I was sharing earlier as we were preparing for the show that when I read this, take inventory of yourself. It was the beginning in my mind and my spirit of the formation of the International Mastermind Association of Accountability. Because when we read these questions and we started asking ourselves the question, I just want to just wrap up with this as I just read what the author says. He says, take inventory of yourself. And that's what we want to share with all of you that are listening. When you talk about planning your organized plan, be mindful and be open with your accountability partner or partners, even if it's a husband and wife team, to really take inventory and be willing to actually do whatever it is said that you need to do as part of that inventory you're taking. So this is what it's not going to be on the question. It's going to be the intro. He says, annual self-analysis is essential in the effective marketing of personal services. As an annual inventory in merchandising, moreover, the yearly analysis should disclose a decrease in fault. Galen talked about this when he talked about having to go and face, first of all, he had to face himself. We all did. We filled out that survey. And then he had to face the rest of us.
I don't know what I'm giving anybody. Name, but he had to face the rest of us, and then he and Peter are also in a mastermind group together. He had to face his mastermind partner, and they had to face each other with dealing with a fault, and you should increase in virtues. One goes ahead, stands still, or goes backwards in life. One's object should be, of course, to go ahead. Annual self-analysis will disclose whether an advancement has been made, and if so, how much. It will also disclose any backward steps one may have made. The effective marketing of personal service requires, I'm going to say you, to move forward, even if the progress is slow. And I'm going to stop there, because when you think about planning, this is in every area of your life. What is your plan? Zig Ziglar had a saying, and he said, you know, you got to be dead a lot longer than you live. Do you have a plan for that? Okay, I'm going to wrap up with that. We started talking about God and a plan. We're going to end up talking about Zig Ziglar said, you're going to be dead a lot longer than you're living. And do you have a plan for that? When I started on this journey, personally, one of the first things I did was write my obituary. And that started me on this journey over 40 years ago with writing my plan and living in the self-analysis area. So we want to encourage you as you continue to join us on this show. And actually, I'm going to ask you to put it in the chat. You don't have to say much, but just say, I have a plan or I need a plan. If you can put that in the chat, and also if you're listening in the future on social media, let us hear from you. I have a plan. I need a plan. Because if you need a plan, then I would suggest you connect with us and plan to become a part of our International Mastermind Association. Plan to become a part of our annual meeting of accountability for your life. Again, my name is Ann McGill. I want to make sure we did get everybody, right, Galen, Peter, Ursula?
Call my name when you're talking about being dead longer than you're alive. Well, there's a way to extend your life.
Right, that's right.
Creating that story, writing it, sharing it in the forms that you see here, books. It doesn't have to be a big one. Just tell the story because somebody needs to know.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you. So I'm just going to ask the rest of my co-hosts if you want to share anything before we wrap up, because we do want to make sure that our audience know how to reach you. So Galen, if you want to go first, please.
Yes. So Galen Bingham, the Leadership Strategist. I help leaders make permanent success into life and work. You can reach me at Galen at KILNGlobalCoaching.com. Whatever it is that you'd like to achieve in life, I can help you think through how to make that a reality.
Awesome. All right, Peter.
Yeah, great show. My name is Dr. Peter A. James, the High Performance Coach. helping you to shift your mindset and realize your potential. Please come check me out at shiftyourmindset.com or on any social media platform at Dr. Peter A. James. That's all one word, at DrPeterAJames.
All right, Ms. Sula, too. And we make old new in everything we do. You can have your book published by someone who cares at Sula, too.
All right, and again, my name is Ann McNeil, and I am the master builder, helping you to build a stronger, better life. And we're going to wrap up with our special guest and have her share how you can reach her and also her closing comments. Connie.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity to spend time with you all. Again, I listen in on Saturday morning, so it's awesome to be here with such a great group of folks, and I just get so many aha moments from you all each week. So thank you for doing what you're doing. I know that it's a commitment and a labor of love, so I appreciate you all. Please continue, because you really support and inspire folks to continue in their journey. I can be reached at www.tynienhenry.com. And if you have any questions or want to connect, I'm always open to meeting new people, sharing ideas and resources. I am just so happy to have spent some time in organized planning this week in preparation and for all the nuggets that came out of it. So in addition to providing a platform to share, you know, my desires with the world, you've also helped me to further deepen my understanding and application of the principles in this chapter. And my aha moment this week was when I realized that I have several mastermind groups, because I've been so blessed to work to be, I've been blessed with clients, with colleagues, and with business partners that share this mindset of abundance and concept that we can always continue to improve and get to our best selves. And so I thank you for this opportunity.
All right. We want to thank all of you for joining us. And, of course, we have one co-host who's not here today. We will keep her listed in prayer and her family under Begin. So, Begin, we love you, and we will see all of you every Saturday morning right here at 8 a.m. Eastern. And so with that, we want to thank all of you for thinking and continuing to grow with us every Saturday. All right, bye-bye.
The recording has stopped.